Aaron Rodgers says he wants to play for the New York Jets, and the Packers didn't make him feel like they wanted him back. We are going to talk about the latest with Rodgers and what happens now. All of that on our live show on YouTube. Let's go.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Yes, I need to change the intro. Send me some suggestions of what you think belongs in the intro now that Aaron Rodgers has made it crystal clear he wants to be a New York Jet. In a long and wide-ranging interview with Pat McAfee, Rodgers laid out where he stands now and how we got to this point. And it didn't always add up, but I think some key things did. So, let's start here. Aaron Rodgers says, now remember, this is all Aaron Rodgers says. Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to start every sentence with that, but I think we need to make this very clear that this is one side of this conversation. Rodgers says when they convened, he and the Packers, to talk about his future, they made it seem like if he wants to come back, he can come back. And when he is relaying this, the way his tone and the context makes it seem like he's laying out, okay, the Packers said, we want you back. And then later he says, I got out of the darkness, a tone shifted, and I was hearing that they were shopping me. And they ultimately came to the conclusion that he wanted to not only play, but play for the Jets. Now, I don't even want to deal with the inconsistencies of that because it doesn't really matter. We talked on this show about the approach the Packers were taking. And it was, if you want to come back, you can come back. But if you don't, we'll trade you. That is not the way you make it clear to someone that you value them. So is it passive aggressive? Absolutely, yes. Is it the best way to have handled it? I don't know. Probably not. Honestly, probably not. I think Rodgers is right to say, if you just wanted to move on, just say that. Now, he also said, when asked by AJ Hawk, if they had said, we want you to come back, would you have come back? Would you have wanted to come back? His reply was, not really. So Rodgers didn't want to come back. The Packers didn't want him back. It's a little weird to be miffed that the Packers were talking to the Jets, the team that you want to play for, without telling you, even though you didn't want to play for the Packers, you wanted to play for the Jets, and you knew the Packers wanted to move on. So where have we landed? Well, we have landed in a place where everyone is ultimately getting what they want. Rodgers wanted to go. We got that part of this. The Packers, he confirmed what we already knew, that they wanted him to move on. They were ready for him to move on. So did he treat the situation great? Did the Packers treat the situation great? We weren't in those rooms, but we ultimately landed where both parties wanted to be. And so now we have to move forward. I do think it's interesting, though. He said when he walked off the field against Detroit that he was leaning toward retirement. I wonder if the Packers had said, we want you back, if he had just said, I think it's best for me to retire. Or if this attitude that the Packers had, the one that like I said, I said on this show that I think this is what's going on. And I think it is intentional to signal to Rodgers, we don't want you back, but we don't want to say we don't want you back, which again, passive aggressive. That for the Packers, that could have been something that triggered Aaron Rodgers to say, you know what? You don't want me. And you won't even tell me you don't want me. So you know what? I want to go play for the Jets. And by the way, he's totally justified to feel that. And I think, you know, it's hard for me to say I wouldn't feel the same way in his position. I know that I get tagged as a Rodgers hater, and I have offered my fair share of Aaron Rodgers criticisms, but I understand his position. I understand what he's feeling and why he's feeling it. And so, you know, the best way to really tell people that you don't think you're a victim is to tell them over and over and over and over again that you don't think you're a victim and you're not playing the victim as you play the victim. But the thing for Aaron Rodgers now is, what comes next? Can the Packers and the Jets find a way to hammer out compensation? This is going to be a difficult thing. Let's put that on the back burner for a second, because I want to address some of these things in the comments and some of the things that I've seen on Twitter about Aaron Rodgers. And I wrote a lengthy piece for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to, about this. The memories that you have with Aaron Rodgers are special. It is not only okay, it is appropriate to appreciate everything that he has given to the organization. And what I have tried to do, I think you can criticize a player without taking away everything that they have meant to a franchise. I think you can say it's time to move on without taking away everything that they have meant to the franchise. So I understand a lot of Packer fans right now are feeling very conflicted about this. And that's okay, because you know what else? Aaron Rodgers is feeling conflicted about this. Aaron Rodgers is saying, look, this is bittersweet for me. That is a real and genuine feeling. And I think that it is important for all of us to understand that this was not a decision that anyone came to lightly. And when you think about a breakup, the actual breakup is not the first time the person doing the breaking up has thought about breaking up. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers laid this out. They thought about breaking up with him in 2020. And Rodgers, I think, has probably thought about breaking up with them a number of times over the years. And it was upset enough in 2021 to upend the whole season after they go to the NFC Championship game. They're a couple plays away from a Super Bowl because he feels like he's not being respected by the organization. I understand if you're frustrated and upset that the front office didn't do more for Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying, whatever you're feeling right now, I get it. And you get to decide how you process all of this. It's okay to feel the grief. It's okay to feel the loss. And if you need someone to tell you it's okay to be excited about Jordan Love, I'm here to tell you it's exciting. It's exciting. It is okay to be excited about Jordan Love. We are going to do a series of shows. I think this is only fitting when we're talking about an all-time great. We are going to do a series of shows on some of the greatest and most memorable moments in the history of Aaron Rodgers. Things like the 2018 Week 1 win against the Bears, the Falcons game in that 2010 playoff run, the single greatest performance by a quarterback I have ever seen. It is as good as I have ever seen football played. We are going to have plenty of time to remember the greatness of Aaron Rodgers, the foibles, the shortcomings, everything about his legacy. But that is not totally written yet, because he has this last chapter in New York now, we're assuming, to write. And so we're going to talk about the greatness of Aaron Rodgers and the loss and the impact and all of those things, because it is appropriate now that we're heading toward the end of this. For all intents and purposes, it is over. But for now, on this show, today, right now, we have to talk about what comes next for Green Bay. Before we do that, today's episode brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. FanDuel is the place to be betting on the NBA. The NBA is almost here because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. You can bet on the Bucks to win the title. Short odds, but guess what? The Bucks are going to win the title. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com to learn more. FanDuel.com, FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. For the Packers now, where do you go? What do you get? Reports early in the day are from Adam Schefter, the Packers want two firsts. They want the Matthew Stafford trade. They want premium picks. And of course, they're going to ask for that. But the Jets aren't giving them that. And the Packers know that by now. And then we get the report from Tom Pelissero. No, the Packers aren't asking for that. They're not asking for the moon. Well, they should ask for the moon. But they know they're not getting the moon. So at a certain point, this becomes a leak-off where the Jets and Aaron Rodgers' side benefit from saying the Packers are asking for way too much. We're not the bad guys here. We're not the ones holding all this up. And then we get the Packers to come out and say, no, no, we're not asking. We're only asking for what is fair. So what is fair? What is fair? Jets fans think that this is going to be, you know, like a nothing situation, that there's going to be no compensation. I don't think it would have gotten this far if the Packers didn't think they would get at least one premium asset out of this. And I think the fact that they are signing these players, Alan Lazard, Rodgers said this, that's a really good football player, 4 years, $44 million. He gets $11 million a year. Similar, a little bit more than what Marquez Valdes-Scantling got. And by the way, the exact same APY as Corey Davis got from the Jets. If they're going to bring in Randall Cobb and Mercedes Lewis, you have to believe that they think that there's at least a chance. You open up a 2-year window. The same with the Bucks. When they brought in Tom Brady, he was talking retirement. It could have been one and done. But if you have success in year one, you can open up that 2-year window. And isn't that amazing? Now you get that 2 years. The Packers would not have done this, would not have let it get this far if they didn't think they were getting a premium draft asset or a premium asset of some kind. My guess is they come away with at least one first round pick. Rodgers is going to rework that deal so it's not as onerous. And the Jets, this is $15 million in year one for Aaron Rodgers. That is worth the first round pick. I think Corey Davis is going to be in this deal because it saves them $10 million. The Packers can renegotiate that deal. I think that could be part of why this is taking a little bit of time, because the Packers can save the Jets the money by taking Corey Davis in a trade, renegotiate that contract, reduce the cap hit, all that stuff. And then conditional future picks. A second that could become a first, something like that. Just remember, Carson Wentz went for a pick that became a first round pick conditionally, was bad, and then was traded for two day two picks. Like, the idea that this is going to be 43 and a song is just not the reality. Now, I don't think the Packers have to be asking for the moon. This idea that I see all the time, that the Packers can just, Aaron Rodgers can just retire. Okay. The Packers can save the money, save more money this year on the cap than they would if they traded him, by the way, a lot more money. And okay, you retired. Congratulations. Now, the Packers don't get anything for him, but no one thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to retire. He just went on Pat McAfee's show in front of 400,000 people, in front of God and everyone, and said, I want to play for the Jets. I want to play. No one buys the retirement act. It's just not happening. So what are we doing here? And if he's going to threaten that, if the Jets are going to play hardball, which, by the way, I don't think they are. I think the bones of the deal are in place already. But if they're going to play hardball, then you take this as long as you have to. They don't have to exercise that option until later, almost to the season. You can wait until June 1. You're not going to get draft assets this year. Okay. You're playing the long game with Jordan Love anyway. And you can he doesn't have a no trade clause. So you can trade him into cap space. Trade him to the Texans. Someone is going to give the Packers a conditional pick for Aaron Rodgers. If all it takes is a second, a future second, let's say, and the condition is that Aaron Rodgers plays, a team is going to do it. This is Aaron Rodgers. He's going to get premium compensation, even for just 1 year. Matt Ryan got a third round pick to be not nearly as good as Aaron Rodgers. So this is something that is going to happen with real assets attached. And the Jets have painted themselves into a corner here because they don't have any other options. Baker Mayfield is now in Tampa. That's a bad option anyway. Jimmy Garoppolo is in Las Vegas. Derek Carr is in New Orleans. You have no options now. It's Zach Wilson or bust because it was Aaron Rodgers or bust to start with. That is a difficult situation for the Jets to find themselves in. The Packers have a solution for a post-Aaron Rodgers world. It's Jordan Love. Rodgers has no leverage because no one buys the retirement threat. Now, the Jets can just walk away, sure. But how reasonable is that? Like, the Packers can just let Aaron Rodgers retire or trade him somewhere that he may or may not want to be and dare him to either play and they get the pick or retire. They're going to get something either way for Aaron Rodgers. If he plays in 2023, no one buys he's retiring. But if he doesn't, they're saving money on what it would have been. So there's not really a truly bad option for Green Bay. There are a lot of bad options for Aaron Rodgers. If he doesn't want to play and the Jets won't pony up, the Packers can trade him somewhere he doesn't want to be and dare him to not take $60 million. He doesn't want to do that. And the Jets, if they don't trade for Aaron Rodgers, they have to go find a solution that isn't Aaron Rodgers. And the only good one is Lamar Jackson, but that means a slew of draft picks, probably the biggest trade package we've ever seen, probably the biggest contract we've ever seen, fully guaranteed money this year, next year, and practically in perpetuity. That is a huge pivot. Oh, we'll give up a pick for Ryan Tannehill. So you can pay more money for a far worse player. Cool. Good luck with that. If that's what you want to do, cool. But good luck with that. Now, it's not like the Packers are negotiating from a place of strength necessarily. But I think they are negotiating from a place of least weakness. And that makes this all really, really interesting. Now, one thing I want to touch on before we go. We still don't know what the comp is going to be. But let's say there's some draft picks involved. There are receivers that are reportedly on the trade block. We know about DeAndre Hopkins. We know about Brandon Cooks. Now we're learning you can basically get any of the Broncos receivers. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler. Now, I think Sutton is the one who would be the least expensive. Jerry Jeudy, the reports are that they want a first-round pick for Jerry Jeudy. I don't think that's in the cards for Green Bay. I don't think that's something that you'd want to do. But if you have an extra first, you know, if they had 26, right? If they had the kinds of first-round picks that they'd been getting in those like NFC Championship at Aaron Rodgers seasons, the 30th pick, you might throw the 30th pick for Jerry Jeudy if it helps Jordan Love like this. Now, if you have an extra first round pick, is Jerry Jeudy better than any receiver in this class? I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba can be a really good player, but I just did it yesterday. Jaxon Smith-Njigba could be anything. He could even be as good as Jerry Jeudy already is. Now, Jerry Jeudy has not reached the ceiling that I think a lot of people thought he could, thought he had as a prospect. But what is that? What is that value? What is that delta? What are you losing? You're getting certainty. You're paying for that certainty. Now, let's say they get an extra second, the Packers. You know, a second this year and a future second that could become a first. Now you have the extra second. Send the second for Jerry Jeudy. They want a first, but they're probably not going to get a first. So send the second. You might not otherwise do that. Jerry Jeudy is so much better than Chase Claypool, you guys. And the Packers try to trade a second for Chase Claypool. They try to trade a second for Darren Waller. They will give up assets to go get guys. And as we talked about yesterday, the Packers are still trying to win. They're going to continue to strive to try to win. So if they can make these moves, some extra draft capital, the Packers don't have to treat this draft capital like, you know, Gollum and the ring. If you can deploy that capital to make your team better without sacrificing your long-term flexibility, you do that, especially if it's for a proven player. If the Packers can't get a proven player, that's fine. Use the picks or take a couple picks and move up. I've already heard some rumblings that if the Packers do get an extra first, they would consider packaging both of them to move up to get one of those truly elite players. Now, there may not be a truly elite player in this class. Jalen Carter, some off-field red flags. Will Anderson is not that sort of Myles Garrett, top-tier, Jadeveon Clowney kind of premium pass rusher, Nick Bosa level, Joey Bosa level, Khalil Mack level. He's not that. So the Packers can deploy these things judiciously. If they think there's someone worth going up for, go. If not, not. And I think for the Packers, this is really exciting. What can they get? Where can they go? What can they do with Jordan Love? As I said at the top, it is not just okay. It is great to be excited about Jordan Love. There's so much you can do. You've got a quarterback on a cheap deal this year. Now Aaron Rodgers' money's on there. You're going to get him at a discount on the fifth-year option. I think if you pick up the fifth-year option, that's a no-brainer, $20 million or somewhere about there. In 2024, you're going to have a cheap quarterback option. You can get that money down if you extend him, if he has a good season this year, which means they can sort of front-load in a way like, okay, 2023 money, you sign a player. 2023 money, really little. But 24 money, you can balloon a little bit because the cap is going up and guys like Aaron Rodgers' money rolls off the books. David Bakhtiari rolls off the books. Maybe. We'll see. Last little bit here that I think is related to this conversation is Yosh Nijman. He's got the second round tender on him. Can you now use that as an asset? Can you now say, okay, we don't think he's part of the long-term plan here. You know, I saw someone put it on Twitter, like if you want to re-sign him in a year, re-sign him now. And if you don't plan to re-sign him in a year or you don't think you're going to re-sign him in a year, trade him now, try and get a pick for him. They're in a really advantageous position with two tackles who can play. So maybe they're able to get something for Yosh Nijman, and then you can add, you know, a premium position player or something like that. So a lot still can happen. We still need to see the compensation. So we're going to go live again. Go live when we get the comp. We see what the final deal is and everything that goes into it. So a lot more to get here, not today, but on future shows. I'm excited. I'm grateful that we got to watch Aaron Rodgers. We got to be a part of this journey with him. And I mentioned this in the piece, and I've said it on Twitter a number of times. Fans love to point out the two Super Bowls in 30 years. I would counter that I don't think the Packers would trade the last 30 years for fandom on any other team. Maybe you could say the Patriots because they won so much. You know, the Steelers, they won three. The Giants, they won two. The Broncos, they won three. But there are a lot of lean times. Packers didn't really have that. I don't think the Packer fans are trading the last 30 years for anything. For anything. All right, follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify. Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live like we are right now, you can do that on our Locked On Packers YouTube page. Stay Locked On Packers.